There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you. And it grows and it grows and it feeds me like it's never fed me before. All right, Michelle, we're here to do episode one of season three of The Affair. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good tonight. How are you?
I'm good, too. Thanks for asking. How'd you like this episode, Michelle?
I did not like it at all.
Ooh.
Did not like it at all. Did you?
I liked it.
Did you?
Sure. Why didn't you like it?
You know, as we talked about in the pre-episode, the preview episode, I was binge watching season two. And so I really got into all these characters, right? And the further I went along in season two, particularly binge watching it, I really was having a hard time with Noah and Allison, but Noah in particular. I think I touched on that a little bit, that Allison, you know, some of the things she does, and you know me, right? I mean, I'm much harder on women, I think, in general. Or you've always accused me of that anyway, but I just didn't feel that way. Binge watching season two, Noah was so distasteful to me. And not only Noah, but it just didn't seem like there was any men in season two that, I mean, we had Scotty, we had Cole, who was going through everything terrible. I mean, you know, you can't help but like Cole, but it was a really bad time for him. Noah, the Tinder date who didn't show up for Helen, and then Vic, Dr. Vic, you didn't like him very much at the beginning. I mean, there was just nobody really. All the guys were just asses.
Oscar, he's dreamy.
Oscar, yeah. How can I forget Oscar? I mean, Scotty's song rendition, though, man, going back and watching that again. Anyway, I binged watched it literally yesterday, just hour after hour. And it was just, I don't know, maybe I'm just Noah'd out or something. But then to start this episode and it's nothing but Noah, I didn't like Helen. I mean, I did like Helen, but I don't like who they're portraying Helen to be in this. They're just showing her as this weak character, and I don't want to see her still weak 3 years down the road. And also, it feels like they've just changed everything. You know, I mean, I guess it's about the affair in a very roundabout kind of way. But it's really not about the affair anymore. It's really now like about, I mean, you know, people, oh, and this time, you know how I tell you, I never read anything. I never read reviews or anything else. But I disliked this episode so much that I decided to break my rule. And I went on and I read reviews about it. And, I mean, some agreed with me. Some, you know, liked it, but a whole lot of people were really just like, I don't know, just the whole Noah thing. It was just, is he ever gonna change? You know, I mean, are we gonna see any kind of resolution with him, do you think?
All right, Michelle, take a couple steps back from the ledge.
Yeah,
all right,
okay.
So first of all, the affair, I mean, how long do you expect the affair to be the main focus of this thing?
Well, since it's the name of it, I want the affair. I want that to be what it's about.
Well, the affair is over. There's no more affair. It's, I mean, they know their marriage is over, right?
I don't think, no. Helen doesn't know that in this episode.
Well,
and he's still
Helen,
being like a giant ass to her, and she's still accepting that. And I'm
she
just
is.
Wondering how long is that going to go on?
She's a little too hopeful. She's a little too overly hopeful. She's a little too clingy to the past.
Yeah. And
but the affair, the affair of it being an affair in terms of like their marriage being interrupted by this affair, that stage of the rocket is launched. It's over.
Sure. And it actually was pretty much all of season two. But are we just going to go on to a different storyline now? I mean, yeah. Is it just going to be something completely different? But we're so invested in these people.
Well, you're going to see more of their doings.
Well, the first three episodes came out, right? That's what I heard. They got put out for review or whatever it's called. And, of course, you know, I haven't seen anything but the first one. But evidently, Cole isn't really, I mean, just has a minuscule part in even the whole first three. Now, this came on and it said part one, Noah. I think it said part one, Noah. But then we never got a part two.
And yeah, I was like going to ask you about that. Did you watch it on YouTube or did you watch it through the network?
I watched it through the network.
Yeah, I put that too. Part one, Noah, but where was part two? And I thought because I watched it on YouTube, I might have missed some of it.
No, no, there just wasn't a part two. And evidently they've said, or at least the rumor is, that it's not going to be so much this, you know, exact situation
counterpoint.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the things that I really love about this show.
Well, that's okay. Let them show us what they're going to do.
Evidently, we do get a counterpoint of the girl, the new love of Noah's. Is her name Juliet? Is that her name?
I call her Frenchie LaRue.
I don't think that was her name, but that's good. Okay, we can go with that.
That's the best way. I'm never going to remember her name, so.
Okay.
She seems like a Frenchie LaRue to me.
Okay, I'm not writing this off at this point, but this was just nothing, especially, like I said, I mean, I binge watched season two. I watched like 8 episodes yesterday and then immediately went into this, and it was just so different that I was so invested, and then this was just so different that it just really took me aback, and I rewatched it again today, and I didn't like it any better.
Well, honestly. I could see how if you watched all of season two with like all of the Allison and all of the Cole, and then you get this slap in the face of like all almost like 87% Noah, how you might be put off by it. Because I didn't do that. I didn't purge my way through season two again. I just watched or binge my way through. Binge or purge? I just watched this episode. I didn't watch season two.
And you liked it?
I liked it a lot.
Okay. Okay. Well, good. We can talk about it then.
All right. So just to correct something, I think I said it last in the preview episode that we did. Noah was not really true to Helen. He would have cheated on her a few times, like with the hot tub. He just didn't. He had the opportunity, like kind of stolen away from him when Whitney was in the hot tub.
You mean with Allison, not Helen?
He would have cheated with that other woman. That was like.
But you're saying he would have cheated on Allison,
right?
Okay, you said Helen, but they were already separated.
I'm sorry. I mean, he was not true to anyone. He's not true. He's not a true blue dude. He's like. Cheated on Helen. He would have cheated on Allison and Helen with the hot tub girls at that party. And with the hot assistant co-editor or whatever she was, agent, co-agent. I don't even remember.
Eden. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was going to. She went upstairs to get a room. And that's when he went over there and he was like watching these girls in a hot tub. And then, you know, one of them turned around and it's his daughter. I mean, it was like shocking and hard to watch. Yeah, absolutely he's not true. And he even spoke with the psychologist or the counselor of some sort in season two. I don't know if you remember that or not, but he sat there and he told the whole story about how one of his students, how he, you know, all he could think about was her, and he had a meeting with her later that day. But at the same time, he like portrays himself as being this and thinks of himself like some kind of good, noble man or something. That's how he talks about himself. You know,
well, I like this episode because I like the way I think they're going to try to take this season three.
Okay, what do you think they're going to do?
Well, it's complicated. I mean, they introduced like some classical literature into it. Right. I don't know. I just think it's good. Let's just go through it.
Okay.
So, yeah, part one, Noah, but there was never a part two. So,
right.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's really Nina's, though. Nina the sister. Is Nina the sister the one you thought was the blonde he was messing around with?
It could have been. Absolutely. It absolutely could have been. Good point.
Yeah.
Good
did we ever meet Nina before?
We did. We met her one time that I remember when we met Tio, his father, when he went there after Helen had had the car accident with the kids in the car and she got taken away for DUI or whatever. She had the pot lozenge and he took the kids to his sister's and then ended up getting in a fight with everybody and leaving there. But yeah.
Well, it's good that you watched season two. Because you can clarify this. Because at the time, I'm going to ask about his father, too. Because I don't remember ever meeting his father. So he's having breakfast at Tiffany's. Breakfast at Nina's, his sister's house. And, Michelle, what did you think of the beard and the natty attire that Noah was sporting?
I didn't pay a lot of attention to his attire, honestly. I couldn't look away from the beard, and it was not my favorite.
Yeah, he looked horrible. I'm being sarcastic about the natty attire. His attire is crap. He looks like a guy who just got out of jail.
Well, they have razors in jail though, right? I mean, you can shave and stuff. You don't have to. It was bad. That was bad.
Yeah, not just his face and his hair, his beard, but his clothing looked cheap.
Well, I can't imagine. I mean, what does he have now?
It doesn't matter what he has. I'm just saying it looks cheap. Do they throw away all his old clothes when he went to jail?
I don't know. Who would have kept them? I don't know. We don't find out a whole lot yet. And I hope we will find out about some of the stuff that happened. But yeah, I mean, he definitely had some money before he went away. So I don't know.
Well, he's got no money now.
Right.
He probably had to pay a bunch of lawyers. I'm sure we'll see all this eventually. I'm sure he had to pay a bunch of lawyers and whatever.
No, Helen paid his lawyer, remember?
Well, he's got no money. Whatever happened to his money happened to it because he's got no money. He's living with his sister.
Right.
And he's getting ready, or they're all preparing, I guess, for this funeral of his father. And Helen and the kids end up at the funeral coming over.
Minus Whitney.
Did we ever meet the father in any type of depth where we know what kind of person he was?
The only thing that we knew about the father is I think we definitely met him. He was at the sister's and he said he came there and visited. He and Martin were watching a ball game and Noah was coming in and out. He was asking about Helen and he was making a point to tell Noah that his wife evidently had some kind of like degenerative disease or something. And she had brought another woman to him, I think when she was 50 or something, if I'm remembering right. And he told her no, he didn't even do that. He was always faithful to her, even though she was very badly ill, because he loved her so much.
Who brought the woman to who?
Tio, Noah's father's wife, was very ill, and she evidently couldn't do whatever with him, right? And so she brought a woman to him, and he wouldn't even do it, he said.
Noah's father's wife brought another woman to Noah's father to replace her as like a sex surrogate?
That's what he made it sound like, yeah. Yes.
Who made it sound like?
Noah's father. He was telling Noah this. He was scolding Noah about what he had done to Helen, leaving her like that. And he was saying that he wouldn't even have sex with somebody that his wife gave blessing for because he loved her so much. Now, then we have Noah telling a story later on about how his father felt like he was some kind of great man because he didn't, cheat. He didn't physically cheat on his wife, but Noah says he checked out, that he was a truck driver and he worked all the time, and that Noah and his sister was the one that was there taking care of everything, that he just, you know, would come home at night, start drinking, fall asleep, and get up and leave the next day. And that, so that was the relationship Noah had with his father.
Okay. So let's go back to this episode. So back at the funeral, the kids do show up, but without Whitney. Where do you think Whitney is? What's up with her?
Who knows? We find out that at the end of season two that he hasn't spoken to Whitney ever since he saw her at in that hot tub. She blames him for that situation. And so he hasn't even spoken to her. So I'm assuming that during all this time, he still hasn't spoken to her, because I don't think he's spoken to the other kids either.
All right. Power of the rewatch. Good job, Michelle.
Yeah.
I would have never remembered all that. So Noah also sees this creeper guy that's kind of tailing him, following him. And I know who this guy is. Do you know who this is, Michelle?
Yes, I do. But only because I looked it up.
Well, and plus, because kind of at the end, we know. He reveals his face at the end. He's the guard from the prison.
Oh, I thought you meant the actor.
Well, yeah. The actor's Brandon Fraser. But yeah, but the guy in the story is the prison guard.
Right.
The more important question.
His name's Gunther, by the way. And we're evidently going to see more about him.
Okay, so Noah gives the eulogy for his father. And relates how he didn't get along so well. And then ironically kind of glances over at his own children as he's giving this, I never got along with my father. And they kind of look mopey back at him.
Yeah, well, Martin was ugly to him. He wouldn't even come say hello.
Well,
he just walked right past him.
He relates that he never really knew his father. It's the stock speech. The stock. You always think you're going to have more time to tell your loved ones how much you appreciate them, and then they're gone, and you can't do it.
Right.
And Michelle, this is where Helen looked exceptionally hot to me. For some reason, she looks different. She has straight hair. She looks younger. She looks like whatever. Whatever she looks really good.
She looks great. And I mean, and she's like this great person, and man, some people don't like her. Reading these reviews, some people really dislike her. But I mean, I like Helen, and I agree with you as far as that. I thought she looked better than she's looked
well
at all.
She looks good, but she is a wet noodle. She is a flop. She needs backbone. She has no backbone.
Oh, absolutely. No. I do not like how weak they make this character, but she hasn't always been that way.
What do the reviews say? Why don't people like her in the reviews?
I'm trying to remember. One of the things was like she was just emasculating with him, with her appearance or something. I can't remember. I mean, I was shocked to find that people did not like Helen. I mean, what is there to dislike about Helen? It's like disliking some, well, and of course there's things. I mean, you're going to dislike things. But I mean, she's overall, she's, if anybody is a victim, she's the victim in this. Well, the children and her.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she's likable. She's too doting. She's too forgiving. And she's hoping that they're going to get back together. And that's just not attractive. She needs to, I don't know.
No, I completely agree. At this point, I completely agree. And I was really hoping to see Helen being like the strong woman that you know she could be. The end of season two did that again. But see, Noah keeps doing this, right? They're sitting on the beach on the very last episode. They're sitting on the beach. This is where she like, you know, stripped and went running into the water and everything. And he's leading her on. He's saying, I think Allison got pregnant because she wanted me to not have any way to be able to come back to you. And in place of Helen going, no way, dude, she says, oh, you thought about coming back to me? You know.
I know. Well, there's leading somebody on and there's allowing yourself to be let on.
Oh, sure. But I'm just saying, it feels like he tries to keep this alive. You know, we see that in this episode where she's visiting him in the prison and he's saying, she's like, what do I do? And he says, wait. But I mean, you know, you also have to remember the sense of gratitude that she feels toward him for what he's done for her as far as this goes.
But he's given too many signs that he's dicking her over, that she shouldn't be doting on him like this.
I completely agree.
All right. So he gives the eulogy. And then Michelle, they sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game as the favorite song of the father. Come on.
Did you laugh? I mean, really?
It's stupid. That's really his favorite song.
That was funny. I thought that was funny. I literally laughed at that part.
All right, the kids and Helen come over. The youngest son, who's the littlest son?
Trevor.
Says, Grandpa would have liked that. I guess he liked the eulogy that Noah gave. And then Helen takes him aside and says, you haven't been taking my calls. We need to talk about our new arrangement. And Noah's worried. He's worried about a few things. Stacy's afraid of him, his daughter Stacy. He's an excuse maker, Michelle. He is very unlikable in this episode, I gotta say.
Oh, he's just awful. He's awful. And yeah, you're right. He doesn't care anything about seeing his kids. He doesn't care. I mean, you know, if he doesn't want to see Helen, fine. But he doesn't care anything about seeing his kids. She said she's been trying to call. He's been out for 2 months, we find out here. And she is trying to reestablish the relationship between him and his children. Look at Stacy. She's, what, 8, maybe? And he's like, well, I just really don't have any place to be. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you're right. That's perfect thing to call him. He's just an excuse maker.
So there are some important time stamps here. Because somewhere in this episode he says, come on, baby, I'm not going to be in here for all whole three years. And we find out he is in there for three right. years. And then he is right. out for 2 months. So 3 years and 2 months, here we are.
Yeah.
So Helen says, well, what about us? playing to what we just talked about. And Noah's like, what about us?
And then just walks away.
And then I say, yeah, what about them? What kind of question is that? That's not a good Helen question. He should walk away. I mean, it's mean to walk away, but what is her question? What about us?
When they flash back, like I said, he is saying, wait for me. You know, he's saying that to her. And I think she took that literally. Now, we see later on, I think that he says, you know, don't go away, you know, don't come back. Or that might even be an upcoming. I'm a little confused by that. But I think he told her after that, don't wait for me. But, you know, he's telling Helen, wait for me. And then we see him flash back to prison. He's got a picture of Allison up in front of him as he's writing. Handwriting, by the way, can you imagine? And I mean, he's just so freaking dislikable.
It's clear,
pisses
though,
me off
it's,
at every
time.
They've
turn. Never been ambiguous about what he wants. He wants Allison. Allison's photo is the one in the jail cell, not any kids, not Cole, not Helen. It's Allison.
Yeah, but at the end of season 2, he told Allison, I don't ever want to see you again.
Michelle, you're watching a TV drama about an affair with people with emotions getting the best of their intellect, the better of their intellect.
I guess.
He's a victim to his emotion. He's a weak, unreliable victim of his own emotions. He's like weak to his emotions, powerless to them.
I guess, but are we sure he even likes? I mean, of course he likes Allison, and he's drawn to her for whatever reason. But he, it's just like you said, he's not true to her either. I mean, whether he actually
he's weak, and he's weak when he's lonely. He wants Helen to come by. Oh, come on, Helen, let's go run on the beach and play in the sand, and let's go drive around at drunk after the wedding because I'm weak and I want to be with somebody that listens to me. I think he's straightforward as a character. I don't think there's like, oh my God, the shocking curtain is rising on him and we see this new person. We've always known this about him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And I thought Helen put it so well when Allison came to her door in season 2 and she asked, Allison came to her door and asked for Noah. And Helen comes outside and she says, you know, let me tell you something about the guy you're in love with. He is so great at the beginning, and he makes you feel like you are the most perfect person in the world. And then every insecurity, every fault, every failure, he will blame you. And someday, some woman will come to your door, and you'll be the one standing here.
Well, I mean, Helen should have listened to those own words of herself.
Yeah, but she's just, I mean, she's just hurt, right? But I don't like them showing her this hurt this much longer. Do you?
I love it.
Okay.
All right, so they finish up the funeral outside, and Noah has kind of a sixth sense about him and senses somebody's around following him or whatever, or they make it look that way.
Well, and there's also something about the railroad, something about the train going by, and we don't know what yet, I don't think, right?
I think the railroad must be, the jail he was in must have been near a railroad, and he's makes him remember.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, because when he's in the jail, he hears the same railroad sounds. But yeah, right. He hears the railroad sound. He's like, ooh, what's going on? He looks around, like, what's behind me? Sixth sense-ish. He looks around behind him.
Right.
Then he looks at his mother's grave, who I don't remember ever meeting.
No, I don't think so.
His mother's grave. And who he seems to care about, because he goes to her grave and kind of tends to it a little bit.
Sure.
And then the train goes by and he blurts out, an improperly loud amen at the wrong time or at the wrong volume.
Right, like kind of like after everybody else had said it or something. Yeah, I agree.
And then everyone breaks apart to leave for the house. And, God, funerals suck, Michelle. You've ever been to a funeral where you go to the... It's like, oh, this is finally over. Then you realize, oh, shit, I got to go to the house now. And all the people and... funerals just freaking suck.
They're awful. Awful. But here's Helen again.
She comes up
and she goes, should I go? Should I go back to the house? What do you think, Noah? And he's like, I don't care if you want to go or what. I mean, it's awful. But at least she doesn't go.
He totally cold shoulders her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not done, Michelle. Oh, no. So he gives her the awkward goodbye, kiss, hug, whatever. And she leaves the door open for further freaking contact by saying, you know, there's an open house, there's a parent teacher conference, and Martin really, or whoever
it was, Martin, yeah, I think,
well, whoever needs the parent teacher conference, that's not Martin, or is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, because then Martin drives up and just lays on the horn and wants to leave. He wants nothing to do with his father. But the parent teacher conference is another open door by Helen. Please come and see me one more time.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's pathetic. It's another way for her to be disappointed by Noah. It's inviting another disappointment. And we know he's going to disappoint her. I mean, that's what he's going to do, right? It's awful. It's painful to watch. It's really a painful thing to watch her.
That's what the show does, Michelle. They find your pain and they live in it.
Well, they do. They're like wallowing in the pain. It's awful.
That's what I tell girls when I pitch softball on a co-ed softball team. Mm-hmm. Girls don't like the way I pitch to them. That's what I tell them. Hey, I just find your pain and I live in it. They look at me like, what the fuck? Anyway, Noah's troubles aren't over, Michelle. He goes to the house and he meets some old battle axe that totally tackles him. That was a pretty good scene.
It was horrible. Was she horrible or what?
Well, didn't you want to see Noah get some comeuppance?
Not from her. Not from this woman, you know? I mean, good grief. That was terrible.
She mistakes him for Nina's husband, I guess?
Yeah, she does.
Do we ever learn who this old battle axe is?
No, I don't know her name.
Her name's Donna.
Donna, yeah.
But I don't know who she is. A neighbor or something?
Yeah.
Great aunt. Great aunt Donna. She would have known the husband,
related.
Though.
Yeah, I don't think she's related.
So she rips him. She rips him about the brother who went to prison and killed Papa by breaking his heart. And
and Noah's like, oh, I thought it was emphysema. I mean, he's just, even to his dad's death, he's just such an ass. And I mean, you can't blame him for mouthing off to this woman some, but that was just awful. Nina, can you imagine somebody coming up and doing that to a child?
Nina comes up and saves him. It sounds like she hates this old bat too.
Yeah.
Anyway, they go out and they have a smoke and some muscle relaxants outside the house.
And we don't know why he's taking these now.
That's a mysterious clue in this episode, I think.
Mm-hmm, I do too.
He's got pain in his shoulder. He's taking muscle relaxants. And we haven't ever heard that before that I can remember.
No. Mm-mm. No, this is new.
And then he's at the end, he's sort of stabbed in the back and bleeding from that shoulder area pain that nobody ever stabbed him in.
Yeah. Did that happen?
I don't know. We'll get to it when we get to it. But that muscle relaxant's the first sign of trouble there.
Right.
So via Nina's questions, we learn that Noah's teaching at a college now. That's his job after prison. And she tells him to shave off the ex-con beard and stay positive.
A lot of the people really came down on that, too. They said it'd be very hard for somebody who had gotten out of prison to be allowed to teach at a college.
She seems like a really good force in his life, though, Nina.
Yeah. Yeah, she seems like she's a pretty good sister.
So Noah says, JP doesn't want me around. And I guess JP, we learn, is the husband.
Right.
And he says, you're the only one who's ever forgiven me, Nina. And then Nina says, you forgave me for something pretty awful once, too. Now, what did he forgive her for?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think that she's talking about, he had talked about how Nina left home and kind of left him there. And I don't know if that's what she's maybe talking about. I don't necessarily think it is. I think there could be something in that story too, which could be interesting. But other than that, it would just be that she left home.
See, don't you like these little mysteries? Like, what did
I do?
What about who's this prison guard? What's this pain in his shoulder?
I do. I do like all that. I just would have liked to have seen it broken up a little bit. You know, an hour of Noah is too much.
Well, Nina gives him further support by saying, besides, I think you're innocent. So Noah goes to sleep and dreams of jail.
Yeah.
And this is where we start to see his muscular problems. He has shoulder problems. His shoulder bothers him. And he grabs more pills.
He's sleeping on when he wakes up. You'd have shoulder problems whether or not you had them before. He's on this little cot in this cluttered, like, you know, maybe home office or something. It's awful.
Well, but that's not why he has a shoulder problem.
No, I know.
He probably got shanked or something in jail.
Something. I'm afraid it's something to do with that guard.
Although you don't get muscle relaxants if you've gotten stabbed in the shoulder. It's almost like he must have got cuffed and like wrestled and wrenched his shoulder or something like musculature, right? Not
That's
stabbed.
A really good point. Yeah, good point. Yeah, because it would be something where you'd have a need to relax the muscle. I wouldn't think you would need that. I mean, I don't know. It's not my expertise in any way, but I can't imagine you'd need that with a stab wound.
Didn't Sarah Treem tell us in the interview that something about the jail was interesting that we would have to find out through the season?
Yeah.
I remember that.
There's definitely something about the jail going on. I mean, he's remembering this. This was not, remember he brought it up. He was trying to make Helen feel better. He said, you know, it's just a writer's retreat, you know, and I think Noah found out it was not a writer's retreat.
Right.
There.
So anyway, those pills are going to mean something sometime.
Oh, yeah.
So then he shaves and almost leaves the porn stash.
Oh, God. I was like, no. I was literally talking to the television at that point when you take off the mustache with that.
At least he had that comment. Good sense.
Yeah, you're right.
Common sense. So going downstairs, he catches Nina in the middle of a fight with JP, her husband. And turns out, Michelle, Noah has received the house in the father's will.
Yep.
And JP is not happy about this.
Not at all.
He's an angry stiff, man. He just relates how Nina did all the work with their father, paying for the nurse at the end. And Nina just sends him away, tells him to get away and take a walk. Just decompress.
Yeah, I take it that JP thought they were going to get the house and be able to sell it and maybe recoup some of the money that they've spent or whatever. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic, too. Nina tells him that she thinks maybe it's his way of apologizing or whatever. Noah doesn't even want to hear it. He don't want the house. He don't want anything to do with this stuff. So it's really like this odd dynamic going on.
So she gives him a ride to school, and he doesn't want her to come back and pick him up, and tries to give her the house by giving her the keys to the house. That was a little silly.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that, wouldn't you think?
But she wants him to keep the house because it was their father's way of trying to apologize. Interesting there, too, right? A little mystery there.
Yeah, evidently the whole jail thing and everything, I don't know. Is that what? I don't think he liked what he did to Helen. And I think that stopped because, I mean, he was talking to him prior to that, and that's what he was telling him. He was asking only about Helen and stuff. I don't know.
Well, Noah says it's way too late for that. Way too late for their father to apologize. So I don't know what the father-Noah relationship was enough to answer this, but maybe we'll see more about it in flashbacks. Because I don't think, even with your episode two recap, season two recap, that we have enough yet about this father-Noah relationship.
Well, I think he was bitter at his father because his father drank when his mother was sick. Like I said, Noah was talking about how he had to care for his sick mother, and his father was just, gone and checked out and wanted some kind of medal because he didn't, cheat or have an affair on his mother. And so I think he was bitter at him over that. And then when Noah did that with Allison and left Helen, his father kind of threw it back up in his face about, he never cheated on his wife. And I think it might have brought back up all those memories of everything because he was talking, I believe, with the therapist about that. So, I mean, it could have been something more, but it could have just been that maybe too. That's enough.
So while he's in class, Noah sees the Brandon Fraser guard again,
Yeah.
and he rips the poor girl with the shitty poetry. Her name's Audrey. Just rips her
Audrey.
apart.
Yeah, and you know what? I couldn't help but think after, again, binge watching season two, where he's doing all these readings of his books when he's book signing, it sounded just like his book. At first, I thought she was actually reading his book. It was his style of writing and everything after hearing, the reading yesterday. And then it was like his style, and then he just ripped into her because that was weird. Do you think he dislikes The Descent or Descent, his book now or something?
It's almost like he zoned out, didn't know what he was or who he was, went sort of catatonic and just ripped her and then kind of woke up again and like, okay, well, let's carry on. And they're like,
Yeah.
what did you just do? This girl just left the room crying. It
Right.
was like he was out of his body. He wasn't himself doing this.
No, because I mean, he's certainly never been like that toward anybody.
He calls her unoriginal, tells her to go outside into the world and find human interaction. Just whatever you do, stop bringing your crappy diary to class.
And it's so bad because it literally sounded like his own book. So.
Yeah, his books suck too. This is where I thought he looked really frumpy, like the country bumpkin. He had the plaid shirt, the wrinkled suit coat. He just looked goofy.
Well, and he's genuinely wondering why she was crying. He's so out of touch that he thinks, I don't know, he's not thinking, right?
Yeah, he is out of touch. He's self-indulgent. He's worried about
As,
himself. He's in his own little world.
right.
So now he sits alone in some big room, some conference room or some school room. I don't know what that was. That was a weird scene.
I think it's the same room after the students have
But that
left.
school has weird class settings because we're going to see the Frenchie LaRue lady hold her class in the church chapel.
Right. Yeah, it actually does. And I don't know if you noticed even the funeral, there's the settings of these are really odd. That's a good point. In the funeral of his father, the family sat on a sofa and everybody else sat in chairs. So that was a really weird, I don't know. Really weird.
Well, Noah leaves this big room, conference rooms, classroom, whatever it is, and then walks home. And on the way home, he sees a sign for cheap housing and goes and knocks there. And we don't see too much about what happens there. But he leaves and goes to a chapel where he finds nobody in there and just lays down, probably thinking, I have nowhere to go. I'm not going to Nina's and JP's and get more shit there. And I'm tired. I just want to nap.
Right.
Lays down in the pew in the chapel and falls asleep.
Right.
All right, now here's where he dreams in flashback of this first prison visit with Helen. And
Right.
this is where she freaks out about him being in there and almost in her place. And she's
Exactly.
going to use her father's influence to get him out. I kind of like this. Kind of put some perspective on what's been going on in the past.
Right.
I think we're going to see more of these too, because I think they're useful.
Yeah, but I mean, she in these flashbacks, she definitely feels guilt about him being there, and she seems. I don't know. I can't decide if she seems stronger or weaker, you know, because she seems a little bit stronger because she is at least fighting for something. But at the same time, I mean, she's just like, I mean, she doesn't look great in the flashbacks. I don't know.
She doesn't look as good. You're right. I don't know what they're doing with her hair or what, but
no, I don't either.
She doesn't look good weak. She looks good strong.
Yes. She does.
But this is where you're right. He's calling it the writer's camp. It's not that bad. I'm going to use this for writing material. The boys in here aren't so bad. Besides, I owe this to you. And besides, they'll never keep me here for all 3 years. Right. And this is where Helen says, well, what about me? This does make her look really bad. And Noah tells her to wait. And like, what? Wait.
I know.
This surprised me. That answer to what about me surprised me.
Yeah, and this is Noah's take on it. So that means he did say that.
Yeah, he's got to say, well, you got to be strong and get on with your life, and I appreciate you coming here. And oh, no, he doesn't do that.
No, he tells her that he's tougher than he looks. He owes this to her. He wants to wipe the slate clean. You know, I mean, he's saying, I want to fix things with you, Helen. That's what I heard.
Well, that's Michelle. That's version 3, Michelle.
I don't know why they don't have, like, you know, part 3, Michelle, right? And I can just go back and tell what I actually heard through the
All right, Michelle
filter.
This is where I think it gets interesting. So he wakes up from this little flashback dream in the church pew, and there's a class going on, and it's Professor Frenchie LaRue.
Okay.
She's leading a class in the Arthurian character Merlin. She's talking about Merlin the magician. Do you know anything about him?
Years ago I did, but it's gone, so I'll have to say no.
Well, I looked his ass up, Michelle.
Okay, good.
Merlin is an interesting thing to wake up to in this story, and I think they put him in here for a reason.
Okay,
so
cool.
In literature, Merlin is portrayed as having two personalities. One, he's a wizard and advisor to King Arthur. And second, he's the devil is using him as somebody with impaired judgment and making poor decisions. Or he's portrayed as both an advisor and a devil. Merlin is.
Huh.
So this French professor gives a description that Merlin was born to a virgin who was impregnated by the devil. And so now he has two sides to his soul. And his archetype, this character Merlin, the archetype is the war between one's conscious mind and his subconscious struggle for desire. And that is Noah, right? He's got his conscious mind. He's like a writer and trying to struggle to be successful in the world. And then he's always struggling with his desire. His subconscious is fighting with his conscious for control.
Okay, that's a real interesting take on it.
Merlin, the character, also fell for the spell of one of his apprentices, his students, essentially, Vivian. And I think this is like in parallel to all these haughty student advisors and admirers he has. That he had Merlin had an apprentice, a hot young apprentice woman, female, that he fell for. So they had to make this Merlin thing part of this tale, part of this affair saga for a reason.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So I butchered that pretty much.
No, you did great.
Merlin has two personalities. He's a wizard on one side and he's a devil on the other side. And he's a devil because his mother was impregnated by the devil. His mother was a virgin who was impregnated by the devil. And that now, so he has a good side and a bad side to his soul. And that's the archetype for the war between everybody's conscious mind, like I'm going to get up and go to work every day, and their subconscious mind that just struggles for desire. I want this. I want to get this. you know, the affair, the money, the whatever, the food, I eat too much, whatever, you know, your unconscious desires. Anyway, I thought that was cool they put that in there.
No, that really is, because what a fitting kind of class for him to wake up in with a story line like that. I mean, you know, he's not waking up to algebra or something. I mean, he's waking up to that. So that's a good catch.
So Frenchie LaRue greets Noah and says, "Hey, are you in the right place? We're in class here." And he says, "I'm Noah Soloway." And she goes back to class. And Noah sits there and listens to this. I think it's interesting that he listens to this Merlin discussion. And she gives it more description of Merlin: lightness destroyed by darkness, a shadow of a shadow, destined to be destroyed by his creator. And so then they talk after class, and she's flirting pretty heavily with him, Michelle.
She's hard not to watch. She's very intriguing, I think.
I thought you were going to say she's hard to watch.
No,
she's hard
no,
to
she's
watch.
Hard not to watch.
Well, that's an interesting take on her.
Well, didn't you think? I mean, she's like, she's happy. She smiles. I even made a note.
I would be put off by her.
Tell me why.
She's too direct. She's too heavy-handed.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying necessarily in a romantic way. I don't know that I disagree with that. But just in a, she's intriguing to me. She's hard to look away from. She has a smile and she has a story. And you kind of want to hear her story. I wasn't overly fond of the character, but I couldn't look away from her. So I think we're supposed to like her, though, right? Are we?
I don't know.
I think we are.
I don't like her that much.
I don't like her as a love interest for Noah. But I still thought seeing her stand up there in her attire, telling her story with this smile and her enthusiasm. Every teacher that you've ever loved, right, they're enthusiastic about what they're teaching. And just the way she speaks and everything, it was really a compelling person. But
maybe
I do
what
not
I,
like
maybe
her.
What I didn't like about her is that she was always upbeat and happy. She was never, like, critical and angry, ever. Even in the arguments over the dinner about, like, the rape, what's a rape and what's not a rape. She's like, well, we must consider everything. You know, she's, like,
right.
Too chipper.
Right. Right.
Anyway, they see outside the chapel after the class is over, they see the student protest and something about a rape. I don't know how they got that because I couldn't figure out why it was about a rape.
It was about consent. It's just this, just about consent is how I took it. They just wanted, I don't know that anything specifically happened, but they were something about what they were chanting.
Well, something had to happen to have a demonstration. You don't just have a demonstration about consent.
I don't know. I think Audrey would have just had a demonstration. I think she would have just got out there, don't you?
Well, she's a head case.
But that's, you know.
Maybe the college put out some new rule that you have to have it in writing, the before sex, you have to have both signed, something stupid like that.
Well, you know, they're out there screaming no means no.
I think there must have been a real rape, though. There must have been some event that was strong enough to bring out these kinds of emotions in people.
Well, they didn't show that to us. And we see that Audrey is, I don't know what's happened to her, but she views herself as a victim based on what she actually says, not just my take on it. So
did you get how Frenchie LaRue relates how she stood up for Noah when everybody else didn't want him to get hired by the college?
Did she say that?
I don't know if she said that or if I know that because I've read some stuff or whatever, but I think that's the case.
Yeah, I think so too. She brought up that she loves the student's passion. And I think that's probably part of her intrigue, is that she is looking for this passion and this just, you know, life, right? And she was talking about that they even had this kind of thing, not like the protest maybe, but something like that about Noah coming back. And yeah, I definitely got the idea that she stood up for him because she likes the liveliness. She likes the life.
Right. She says, "You are a murderer, yes?" She's too chipper.
Yeah, that was rough.
And that then,
because come on, he's not a murderer. I mean, even if he had been the one driving a car, that's not, it's bad because you're like drunk and you got no business doing that. But that's not a murderer, is it?
I mean, murder. I don't think we call it that. Yeah, he was dogging on his daughter.
Oh, Scotty. Stop. No, but he didn't do that deliberately. I mean, if he had been the one driving, it wasn't done deliberately.
The public doesn't know what we know.
Okay, but you have to know, because you don't do 3 years in jail for murdering somebody. I mean, you have to do more time than that, right? If you like cold-blooded, pre-calculated murder, right? It was an accident. No matter who did it, it was an accident. The whole thing was just a really unfortunate accident.
Well, he did stand up like an idiot in court and say, "I killed Scotty."
Yeah, he did. Good point.
So Frenchie asks, "Are you happy here?" And Noah says, "It's better than prison." And Frenchie says, "I must remember this when I'm bored within my NUI and or my ennui, ennui. I wrote that. I should have thought about that before I said it. Within my ennui, I thought I'd come to America for a grand adventure. Instead, it's New Jersey. Everyone is just nice."
Yeah, she's definitely on the prowl for something.
Noah.
For her, well, maybe, but for her adventure, for sure.
She's looking for trouble. She's bored, and she's looking to spice up her life with this murderer, writer, professor.
Yeah, she's looking for spice. She's looking for someone that she deems worthy of, I don't know, I guess like enlivening her.
Well, they paint it like she would have brought a murdering, interesting guy into campus just for her own entertainment, regardless of the risk to the students. That's what I took from it.
But there's no risk. I mean, in this situation, unless he's drunk driving, there's no risk to the students.
They don't know that. He's like written novels about like domineering and raping without consent. And, you know, that's what.
Okay. We watched that in season two, and it's a little aggressive. But are we really going to call that rape?
Audrey is.
I know. But Audrey, you know. Aside from Audrey, are we really going to call that rape?
Well, no, I'm not. But I'm going to ask you about Audrey when we get to it.
Okay.
But I think Frenchie LaRue wants some interesting, dashing criminal writer near her on this campus, no matter what the cost, no matter what the risk.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I just don't see Noah as a risk.
Well, of course not. Of course he's not. But they don't know that. They don't know him like we know him.
Okay.
So this is where she talks about how the faculty has tasked her with making the students feel secure at university.
Yeah.
And this is wrong. School should be a place where students take risks and chances, and they should be challenged by faculty.
And feel insecure, not secure. Yeah.
So I agree with that. I don't agree with the safe haven, sanctuary. You know, I identify as this, and I'm in a safe zone, and I want to be protected.
I agree with you. I don't think college students should feel unsafe, but I think you really have to identify, you know, what is safe and what is unsafe. And I don't think you can make everything unsafe. I think it's just like they talk about a little bit later on in this. If you call everything rape, then it really takes away what rape truly is. It dilutes that. And I think that's a really bad thing for not just this episode, but for society in general. I mean, call rape, rape, absolutely. And it's horrible and it's wrong. And no one, I don't think, would argue different. But if you call kissing somebody without asking them first, "Can I kiss you?" rape, then you really dilute what it actually is, in my view. Please don't hate on me too much.
So Noah relates that he kind of agrees with her, that they should be challenged and not just be totally protected. And then he sees the guard again. Yeah. And then Frenchie LaRue invites him to her party that evening, and he accepts. And next, Michelle, Noah goes to meet his parole officer. Now, this was kind of silly, I thought. It was a bit overplayed. Out of all the people this parole officer must see, Noah has to be the easiest, lamest criminal, quote unquote, in her charge, right?
Sure.
She acts all tough with him, tell him to keep employed, tell her of every move. I mean,
he's a college professor. He's not working, you know, in a car shop or something. You know, I mean, he's a professional.
He apologized. He walks up in his dork suit, his dorky sport coat, apologizes for being late, thanks her for all this advice, this heavy-handed, like, micromanaging advice she gives him, and then walks her out to her fucking car. I mean, how dangerous is this guy?
Oh, right. I agree. But it was interesting, though, because she was asking him, because he kept looking out the window, and this is where she brought up, are you waiting for somebody? And he's like, who knows I'm here? And she's like, what? Do you need to tell me something? And he kind of backs off from it.
Right. He says, who knows I'm here? Does anyone know? Like, and she's like, as a prisoner, know you're here? What are you talking about? And he's like, he doesn't really specify it, but he's wondering if a guard could know where he is.
Right.
And she's suspicious about it, but he brushes it off. And I guess he kind of gets out of it.
Yeah, he schmoozes her a little bit, I think. She even almost smiles a couple times.
Like, what a pussy, worried about who's going to come get him. So on the way out, they both pass Audrey going into the dean's office. And Noah's like, oh, shit, this is all I need now is her complaining about me.
Well, right, because he's just been warned, you better keep a job.
So Noah goes to buy some wine for the party at Frenchie LaRue's and can't decide between the cheap stuff and the good stuff, Michelle.
No, he goes back and forth for sure.
It's the classic wine store struggle.
Really?
Because you go to a party, you could just buy like a mediocre wine and stick it on the table with everything else. Nobody's going to know. But if you buy the really good stuff and stick it on the table, then nobody knows you bought the good stuff.
And that's what it's all about, right? Is who knows what you brought.
Absolutely.
Right, you got to go in, like, you know, carry it in your arms like a newborn baby or something.
So Brendan Fraser walks in and he drops the wine and knocks over a whole stack of bottles and then pays for it with a 20. How does he get out of that with just like one bill?
Was it a 20? I thought it was 100.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either.
Even if it's 100, if you knock over I guess it was the cheap stack.
It must have been.
They were 10 bucks a bottle, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to get out cheaper than that, but maybe they didn't all break. Maybe you just broke a couple.
The idiot clerk did look at him like, oh, yeah, holy cow, that's more than enough.
Right.
Like, he's way over-impressed by it.
Right. Like, thanks, dude.
All right, so he gets to the party, and Audrey is the first one to greet him. That's kind of ironic. And they end up in the hot tub later. That was really shocking. No, just kidding.
Okay.
So, Professor Frenchie LaRue is her advisor. Her name is like Professor Legault, right? Legault?
Yeah, well, Juliet is what they call her.
Juliet Legault.
Okay, that's good. You've been practicing.
They get into a long dissertation about rape versus dating and consent and all this other bullshit we've been talking about. Wanting it, playing cat and mouse, male-female courting. And she just laughs it all off. She's at the table just like grinning ear to ear, laughing at these silly conversational arguments about rape versus consent.
Yeah, it's almost like she's setting it up, you know? It's like she's sitting there and kind of like laying a sticky note on the table with the topic on it. It's what I picture her doing, and then just having them go at it. And she's got the mixture of the girls and the guys. And so, you know, there's going to be like this different point of view more than likely. And it was pretty interesting. And I wouldn't put it past her to even invite people with different points of view so she can kind of sit back and take all this in. She likes the theatrics of it.
Well, I wouldn't mind a professor doing that. But her goal is to like jump in Noah's pants. She's eyeballing him across the table. I don't know. So it kind of devolves to like asking isn't sexy. Noah, I think Noah says that, right?
No, that's the one of the guys there.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so Frenchie says, the woman is always in charge. When the man loves her, it enriches his life, and erotic doesn't always mean physical. Did you buy that?
No.
You don't buy that the woman could be kind of submissively acting, but really controlling things behind the scenes the way she acts?
No, absolutely that. I thought you said that erotic isn't necessarily physical. I think it's physical because it's a physical reaction to your body. That's all I meant.
But I think that's what she means, that the woman can deny, choking me up here, deny the guy any physical interaction and be in charge of him, and that is the erotic part of it that she was referring to.
Well, she even said, you know, what's more erotic than inviting a guy into your bed and then not allowing him to touch you?
I can think of a lot more erotic than
Right. I mean, right. Thanks. I can too. But she acted like that was like the pinnacle. And I was like, okay, look, Mike, maybe you and I just don't get it.
Well, that's why I'm asking if you're buying it. You're the woman. She's the woman portraying, like, this is what the woman can do to control how the eroticism should work, and not just...
No, in a teasing way or whatever, sure, of course that kind of thing can be, you know, super erotic or whatever, but it has to lead somewhere at some point, in my view, and I could be totally wrong, but I think it would have to lead somewhere for it to be anything that anybody's interested in for any length of time.
So the boy students and the girl students at this table are really stereotypically caveman, and the women are stereotypically demure.
I didn't find the guys cavemanish at all. I just found them normal. They seem normal to me. You know, he's like, I don't want to ask a girl. I mean, and let me also bring this up. Why should he ask her? Why shouldn't she ask him? I mean, if you don't want to be sexist about it, right? Why should it be on the guy necessarily to ask the girl? I don't know.
Because the guy's always trying to screw the girl. Everybody knows that. The guy's always like horny for sex, and the girls aren't. The girls are always being pursued in most cases by the guy. Right? It always is set up that the guy is pursuing the girl, and the girl's like slowing it down and keeping it at a pace that she's comfortable with. And I think that's the point of this conversation.
Okay, what?
That's part of the interaction and the play between the sexes, that's how it works. It's not like, oh, wait, I said no. You need to get it in writing until you make the next step forward. That ruins it. So you can ruin it both ways.
Well, right, but that's kind of like what I'm saying. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right, or I think certainly your theory on it is right back when I was college age. But I don't disagree with the guy that is it something that you want to stop and say, do I have your consent to kiss you?
I know, I mean, but at a dinner party, a smarter guy, instead of being, they're making jokes, they were pretty caveman. They didn't say, well, could you tell us more about how you feel about that? Because it's really interesting to me to know what your side of it is. They don't ask anything like that. They just kind of make these locker room dude type comments. That's what I mean by caveman.
Okay. Well, I didn't find them very over the top. I found them certainly more... I don't know what, certainly the way I grew up mainstream than the way it maybe is today.
Well, Audrey criticizes the rape scene in Noah's Descent book.
Yes, she does.
And she says, when you came to work here, we were all a bit nervous, which is kind of ridiculous, right? It's a book. I mean, are people worried if Stephen King comes over for dinner that he's going to murder 10 of them?
Or bring aliens or a clown with him or what? Yeah.
So Noah tries to be a little patient with Audrey and says sex can be wanting and not wanting. He tries to like let her in on this, you know, the theme of the story. It's like it's a dance. It's a language, right? And Audrey's all frustrated. You're just a rape apologist. She's pretty much over the top.
Well, right. He says that Lana, which is Allison in the book, didn't consent, but she enjoyed it. And there, he did get aggressive with her in that scene, but she completely submitted to him within, like, what, 3 seconds? I went back and watched the scene again, and she, you know, is that going to be considered wrong now?
No, only by Audrey. Audrey's okay. Over the top for a reason. There's two over the tops. Audrey's over the top that way, and then Frenchie jumps in and says, that's not how I read Descent. It was an account of a brave man who fell in love with a woman who was not his wife. That's as over the top in the other direction. That's as much bleh as
Audrey.
Oh,
I know. I just saw her like kissing his butt the whole time.
And it's a brave, like, really? Man, he's so brave to try this new affair with a woman that's not his wife. Well, what about his wife? Would have been braver to stay with the wife.
Right. And, you know, where'd it get him now? Allison won't even take his damn phone call. And, you know, look at what the brave man got out of that.
All right, Michelle. So Noah joins Audrey outside the house now alone and has a cigarette with her. She offers him a cigarette and he declines. And then he apologizes about the classroom and asks if those feelings of risk could maybe help her with her writing. I like that question. That's not a bad question.
No, I thought that was great. And I thought he did owe her an apology. And I was glad he did apologize for that. And I felt like that was sincere, right? That wasn't just because he saw her going into...
No, I think he zoned out when he criticized her like a dumbass. And he realized, well, shit, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
He was zoned out for some... I don't know if it was the prison guard out the window or what, but...
Yeah, I think it was the guy. The guy has him up in arms.
So Audrey, at this point, seems to have accepted his presence and his apology and then tells him some interesting thoughts about women that I wanted to ask you about, Michelle.
Okay.
Because I've heard other women say these thoughts, have this perspective, that women feel safe, women feel unsafe all the time, in class, at parties, in elevators, walking around at night. And I don't need anyone to push me outside of my comfort zone. I've heard this from women before. Like, they're at every bar they ever go into or every place in public, like, somebody could slip a roofie into my drink. They're constantly worried. Have you ever heard that, or have you ever thought about that?
That is certainly not my social circle. The women I know are not like that. Of course there's times that I've been in situations where I've been in a parking garage or something and had somebody, you know, and you have a twinge of, okay, I hope this goes okay. You know, because as females, we're not maybe always as able to, you know, protect ourselves against men.
Well, I've
or whatever.
Had that. You're in a dark alley or something, but just every single thing you do, because you're the weaker sex, that you might be raped and you might be drugged and taken away into a room and raped. That's horrible.
Never. And I've raised 3 daughters, and my daughters don't feel that way.
But do you think some women do?
Sure. I mean, if they say they do, I'm assuming that they do. Why would you want to have those feelings? Why would you say you do if you actually don't? That would not be a fun way to live.
I've heard women say this. I think it was like a creative writing course or a marketing course or something. Some class where there was like women and men together. And one woman said that, like, you guys don't understand what it's like at any moment. Anything could happen, and we never feel... And she was, like, portraying it as, like, a spokeswoman for the whole female gender.
Well, she's not speaking for me, and I don't know how that's different than how a man might feel. I mean, because at any point you could be... It's just like you said. I didn't even think about that until you said it, but you could be attacked, you know? And also... It doesn't matter how big of a man you are, how strong you are. I mean, there can be more people. There can be people with weapons. I mean, I personally think that most people are really good people in their heart. And I think most people, if they see anybody vulnerable, I choose to believe it, but I believe that they will help that person, not try to hurt that person. I think it is a pretty rare person who will go out of their way to try to hurt somebody.
Yeah, and I don't know if I agree with that. I think a lot of people would hurt you, but I don't walk. I was joking when I said I'm worried about that. I don't walk around worried like the way this woman was portraying it. Like, oh, and at any moment, no matter where you are, I feel unsafe all the time.
Well, I don't feel unsafe all the time. So I honestly can't relate to that.
Well, Noah's kind of sensitive to this, you know, and I, you know, I hate to say it, Michelle, but Noah and Audrey are hitting it off here. Look for trouble down the road with them, especially in light of this whole Merlin revelation.
If Noah would touch her with a 10-foot pole, he is crazy. Of course, we know that already, I guess, don't we? But if he does that after all of this, I mean, she's practically called him, well, she did. She called him a rape apologist? I mean, she already has ideas about him. And if he goes after that.
She's warming to him, though. They're setting this to happen. I'm making a prediction. Put it in stone. Book it.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
In fact, Frenchie even cock blocks him right now. She interrupts them and gives him a tour of the house to Audrey's like mild disappointment. She's pissed that Frenchie walks out while they're having this talk.
Did you think?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't really get that. I did feel her warming to him, and I really liked that. I liked it on two levels. I liked it because I wanted her to have that male that she didn't feel that way with. You know, this character to have that. I wanted that. And I also wanted him to kind of make amends for how he was. So I did like that, and I did see that.
Well, he's doing some things that are making her attracted to him, whether on purpose or not. Like, she offers him a cigarette, he turns her down. So that's like, aw, come on, I offered you something, take it from me. Right. That's a bit of a, I don't know. It seems to be a bit of a way to place some longing for some, you know, I want him to want my cigarette. And then she gets interrupted by the older, more mature woman.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm saying, just wait for it to happen.
It better not.
All right, and now our irony of all ironies, the place that they're in used to be a home for abused women. The place where Frenchie LaRue lives.
Is that what wayward means? Wayward women? Is that abused women?
Wayward, yeah. You know.
Okay. I was thinking wayward was like prostitute.
Running away from home. Yeah, I guess it does. Like,
I don't know.
Off the straight and narrow. Yeah, you're right. But Frenchie can't wait to get busy with him. She practically puts on the runway lights to her bed. She sits on her bed.
That's funny because she was talking. She was like telling him, and I don't even remember now what, it doesn't even matter, but I had just watched Last Man on Earth, and you know how Carol talks when she's making out, you know, like about a pic. I mean, just anything. It's so funny. Anyway, that reminded me of that. So there was nothing romantic about that scene at all. It was just comical to me because she kept speaking about whatever she was speaking about. Anyway.
Yeah, I haven't seen Last Man on Earth in two or three years now, but you only have to see one episode to know what you're talking about.
It's so funny.
So Frenchie and Noah talk, and Noah relates how that other man is gone now. That's how poetic, that other Noah is gone now. And Frenchie says, at least you have the paper record. Mm-hmm. At least you have the paper record of him.
Uh-huh.
And then she jumps him.
Yep, she did.
She
thought there was no one interesting to talk to in New Jersey, but he's a famous author. Kiss. And he's been to prison. She likes this. She likes this prison thing, which is kind of weird. And then kiss.
I know. That's okay.
Why Juliet and not Helen? That was my question to you right here.
Helen doesn't have the French accent. I don't know. Helen's old. Juliet's new.
That is horrible, Mike.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know why. I don't know. That's why I needed to ask you. I don't know why. I cannot imagine that he would not be attracted to Helen, but he's attracted to Juliet.
Juliet understands his deep poetic soul, Michelle.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's it.
Anyway, train goes by, sexy time stops.
Yep.
Wah-wah. Meaning of the train, the graveyard train, the prison train.
Yeah.
Had to be a prison. Has to be a remembrance of the prison to him.
Yeah. Has to be.
Noah walks home and flashes back to train whistles and prison scenes, and that's our answer, I think.
And he's taking a muscle relaxer again as he closes the door to her house, remembering whatever he's remembering about prison. And he's walking on the street and he's constantly, like, you know, looking over his shoulder and stuff. And then this is where he stops and calls Allison.
Yeah, we get a good look of the picture on the wall being Allison and not Helen.
That's right.
And we get a good look at Brendan Fraser.
Yep.
And Noah calls Allison. And another interesting clue. A lot of good clues here that want to keep me coming back, Michelle. He says, okay. I know you told me not to call you. I want to know more about that. I know you told me not to call you, but I needed to hear your voice.
Okay, well, yeah, right. And I do want to know why and what happened, but Allison was pissed. When they were going into the courtroom, and I had forgotten the end of season two when they were walking into the courtroom, she did not want Noah to allow his lawyer to call that detective because the detective had found that worry that I don't know if it was the worry stone, but the stone that had her name on it from Cole and Louisa's wedding at the crime scene. And he was going to go up there and talk about that. And Noah's lawyer said that was the only way Noah had a chance to throw, you know, something else in the mix so he wouldn't get convicted. And he said, I've got a really bad feeling about this, Noah. I can tell the jury's not going to come back good. And she didn't want him to allow this detective to go up there and sit on the witness stand because she said, it's going to point the light at me. She said, Noah, you can't do that to me. She said, you've got to choose right now. You either go in and tell the truth about Helen and choose me, or you choose Helen and throw me under the bus. And then he went in there and whispered something to his attorney, and his attorney called the detective up on there, and that's when he stood up. He couldn't take it. He couldn't choose between Helen and her. But she was mad.
Yeah, and that paints Allison in really a bad light, too.
Allison was painted in a really bad light. Watch some of the earlier episodes back to back. Oscar was talking about how when Gabriel died, that people think that it broke her heart. He goes, she had no heart. He said, this is how she is. And I know we talked about it a little bit last season. Is Allison just this cold-blooded person and pretending all this stuff, which I don't think she is, but it's pretty interesting.
So Noah gets home, has that sneaky somebody's following me feeling again. And then we see he has a manuscript he's working on, some sort of manuscript or a draft novel. And it's got a messy sink full of dishes, Michelle. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, and this is supposed to be his first night there. He's subletting from an undergrad student, is what he said. And it's his first night there, so I guess he's just going in. Also, when he walked in, he's like I was saying, he's looking over his shoulder the whole time, and he opens this like security door, and he didn't make sure the door closed behind him, because I was really waiting to hear that door clank or hear him pull it closed before he walked in, particularly since he really felt like he was being followed, and he didn't. So I was really worried that somebody was in there.
So you think he's cleaning up the roommate's mess?
I mean, it can't be his, right? He couldn't have made that much of a mess.
I missed the signal that it was his first night there.
Yeah, because remember he told the officer who come spoke with him, he's like, yeah, this will be my first night there. This was the same day that he dropped, that Nina dropped him off at college. And this is the same day that Juliet asked him to dinner that night. So, I mean, he hasn't even been there.
Well, you can't be starting your first day at a sublet with somebody by cleaning their frickin' dishes.
That's pretty bad, right?
So here's the creepy sounds again. And what, by the way, too, Michelle, this house is freaking lit by what? Mosquito zappers. What's the light in that place? It was like,
that's exactly what I was going to ask you. What is that? That's why I don't know if this is real. Is this real?
I don't know. He hears some really odd discordant jazz like soundtrack in his mind.
Right.
And he feels that pain in his back, and it's like, okay, it's got the shoulder pain, but then there's blood. And blood like everywhere.
Like a lot of blood. Like, yeah.
But no person there to stab him.
No, but you do hear you, and as he's standing at the sink, you can, if you're watching, it looks like you can see somebody coming up behind him. But he doesn't even turn around. It's like he hears this, but he doesn't even turn around. And the lights are flickering, like you said. And the lights are going dark and then light. And then dark for longer and then light. And then dark for even longer and then light. And he never even turns around to it. And, you know, he tries to grab the phone as he's falling, but he doesn't get the phone. But couldn't he get up and get the phone?
Well, do you think they'll do something stupid like he's cleaning the dishes and one of the things he's cleaning is like a little paring knife? Like he reaches back to grab the pain in his shoulder and stabs himself with the paring knife? Because I bet that's what happens. Because you can't have the creeper, Brendan Fraser, like scaring him in his imagination and following him and like intimidating him and then walking up and stabbing him. Right? It's one or the other. He's going to either eliminate him. He's not going to creep around and follow him and make him scared. He's going to kill him if he wants to kill him, or he's going to scare him if he wants to scare him. He's not going to do both.
Yeah. He was supposed to be like a stalker, right? That's what I read. That this guy Gunther is supposed to have been like really fascinated with Noah, this prison guard. And so I don't know what he might do, but that's a good point. I don't think he would be there and be walking up behind Noah and Noah not even at least turn around. So that's a really good take about the knife where he reached up and grabbed his shoulder because it was hurting. We've seen him grab it several times. Other than that, I'm clueless.
And it's like a small enough knife to like make him bleed, but not really like go through and jab him in the lung or the heart or something.
Right.
And plus, I mean, it's very manipulative to have it look creepy and scary and then cut it off before we can see what happened.
I agree.
It's like a Sarah Treem, Sagai Levy. They're the writers. They're playing a mind game with us, just like this Brendan Fraser fish kill guard's playing a game with Noah.
Okay, so you didn't like that either.
I thought it was pretty manipulative. The scary, the creepy movie last 2 minutes of this episode.
Yeah, right. I mean, are they going to turn it? That was another thing. I mean, I was like left wondering, which direction is this going?
Well, we need to know why this guy would be so either fascinated with or angry at Noah, this prison guard.
I think he was fascinated. I think it was like stalkerish. You know, we have to remember all the people who would come to his book signings and his readings and stuff, because they were like packed houses and it was like a lot of people. And
so you think this guy, this prison guard, was one of those people? And then, wow, now he ends up at my prison and I'm his guard.
That's my guess on what's went on. Yeah, I think it's somebody who really like because Juliet, she's talking about, I love the book. I mean, these people who liked the book, man, they loved the book, right? And
so you think he almost must be like a misery type of guy? Like, oh, I've loved you.
Yes.
Bring that doodly character back to life.
Yes, that's what I think. I've got nothing to base that on.
Could be. That's interesting. All right, so that's your prediction?
I'm I don't know if it's a prediction, but I'm leaning that way, barely. Yeah.
All right, and mine is he's going to be hot and heavy with Audrey.
Ah, he better not.
All right, well, we'll see. Well, how could Allison get reintroduced to this?
Oh, she's going to. Did you not see the upcoming?
I know.
Episodes, yeah. She's going to be reintroduced. I don't know what you know, what she's going to have to do with Noah.
The little kid, the little 3-year-old kid. It's pretty cute looking.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she's like 4.5 or 5 now, I think. Joni? Yeah. And because she was, I think she was supposed to be 18 months old when all that went on.
Okay.
And actually, probably even older than that. She was about 18 months old when Scotty was killed. And then it was actually a while after that, if I remember right, before, you know, the trial and all that. So.
All right. This Noah's got quite a mess on his hands.
He does. He does. But gosh, can we see somebody else for a little bit?
Did you ever explore whether the other episodes are online yet?
No, I couldn't find the other episodes. They released the first three for what they call that?
Screeners.
Yeah, screeners, right. And how do we get that job, Mike?
Yeah, they made a point of saying the first one is like uploaded for everybody. So it's sure just the first one.
Right.
All right, Michelle. Well, there's no clues. I have no clues. I have no next ons. I have no like titles of episode 302 to tip me off. They're just numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I know that, like I said, the only thing that I read about 302, well, right, because we're podcasting this the thing actually just aired, but we see evidently Juliet has a point of view. So we get to see her point of view, which is, does that strike you as odd?
No.
Okay. She seems like a fringe character at this point to have a point of view. You know, in season one, we only got Allison's and Noah's. And then in season two, we got Allison's, Noah's, Cole's and Helen's, and now we're going to add this fifth person in, which seems
odd. But she's a professor of literature. Look at all the crap she added with Merlin. All that stuff. She could be a really good light. She could shed a really revealing light into this.
Okay, that's a good point. We'll see. We'll see how it turns out. I'm just a little skeptical about it, particularly since we did a whole episode with just Noah.
All right, we'll see what happens in 302.
But we do know that Allison is trying to get Joni back. Allison has evidently left for 6 months.
Yeah, where's Joni?
She left her with Cole and Louisa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a whole other complication.
It sure is. And then she comes back and wants some contact with her that they aren't liking, it looks like. So, and it looks like Cole is going to go behind Louise's back to let Allison see Joni.
And Joni looks like a little tiny Louisa. Like they make I don't even know where I saw it, but they made the Cole, Louisa, Joni little trio family look pretty happy in 3 years. 3 years of a family to break it apart just so Allison could get her baby back.
Yeah, I think that they were actually only a family. I think Allison had only left for like the last 6 months.
Whatever. But, you can't do that to a freaking 3 or 4 year old kid.
No.
Okay,
no,
now you're back with me.
Right. No, no. So
and then,
that's going to be interesting.
And then Noah shows up. And even the author
himself loses control. I know. I didn't kill Scott Lockhart.
All right, Michelle, I don't know what else to say.
I think we've covered it.
All right, see you at 302. I'm at Scathing Tweets. Find out who
did. And I'm at Michelle from TN.
All right, Michelle, see you later.
Okay, see you next time.